This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Francis Walter is a retired Episcopal priest who now lives in Suwanee, Tennessee. He was born in Mobile, Alabama in 1932, and he recently wrote a memoir, From Preaching to Meddling, A White Minister in the Civil Rights Movement, published by New South Books. From 1965 until 1972, Walter was the director of the Selma Interreligious Project, which supported African Americans in their struggle for civil rights in the Black Belt counties of Alabama. Here are a few of his reflections. What inspired you to write this and share it with us now?
Well, I'm a great storyteller and a tale teller. I mean, not made up stuff, but, you know, real stuff. And in my civil rights days, it was called the Selma Interreligious Project. It grew out of the troubles in Selma, should say the advances in Selma. And So I was used to writing. We had a monthly newsletter we put out, and I've enjoyed writing, so I just decided I'd write a memoir.
You recount not only through the years, not only across the South to other parts of the country and back again during the civil rights movement, but also you did not start out with the views on race and on civil rights that you later came to adopt. Tell us more about that.
It was rather early, I guess, and it was thanks to my mother. There were little things like my best friend in first grade and on up through high school. They had a maid. They didn't use courtesy titles to address her. They just said Sally or whatever her name was. But my mother corrected me about our maid. Well, we did call her by her first name, Volina, but when we introduced her to other people, we said, you know, Mrs. Gardner. That was not done then. When my mother went to a black woman's house in Mobile that she had come across because of her civil rights statements, she knocked on the door and she told me, she said, you know, back in the day, a white person wouldn't do that. They'd stand out in the yard and holler until the person came, and they wouldn't use courtesy titles, and they wouldn't go in the house. There was a code, and thanks to my mother and our family, we didn't follow it.
But you had to live and learn and work in a part of the country where that code was expected of everybody, white and black. This was the Jim Crow segregated South.
Well, I went to Spring Hill College in Mobile, the Jesuit college, and graduated. And then I went to seminary in New York, and I served in a church in Jersey City. It was a fine facility, but it only had a handful of white people that were members. And these two pioneering priests came in and got a school bus and opened it up and had hundreds of black people and Hispanics and a number of white people. And it was called an inner city parish. And later I was asked to become part of a team ministry there. I was really exposed to a non-segregated way of life, which was really important to me. And I knew that when I went back to Alabama as an Episcopal priest, I'd probably get in some trouble, but so what? We had a bishop who was certainly a man of the old South. And I knew when I went back, there would be opposition because of things I said and believed. True enough, it all happened.
Now we're talking the 1950s, the 1960s, the era of George Wallace as the governor of Alabama standing in the schoolhouse door.
Yep. Just after that schoolhouse door incident, our office of the Selma Interreligious Project was located in Tuscaloosa. My wife and I lived just cheek to jowl with the civil rights movement and with things going on at the University of Alabama. Yeah, I got in some trouble, but might have been shot at one time. One of my first encounters when I started doing the work of what we just ended up calling the Selma Project.
You just mentioned that you were shot at. Tell us more about that.
I went to a meeting in Greensboro, Alabama, after the death of the seminarian Jonathan Daniels. Jonathan was a theological student at General Seminary in New York. He and a number of people came to Alabama and marched from Selma to Montgomery, but Jonathan stayed on and asked to be let free from the seminary for a year or however, he was killed in Alabama, in Hayneville.
And this was 1965, not long after that march from Selma to Montgomery.
Right. After that, I was asked to take his place. There was an organization in the Episcopal Church called ESCRU, the Episcopal Society for Cultural and Racial Unity. It was in the Episcopal Church, but wasn't officially, you know, a part of the Episcopal Church in a legal way. So I took Jonathan's place. I visited him in jail a few days before he was shot. After Jonathan Daniels' death, myself and other members of the Episcopal Church went to all these Black agencies and groups in every little southern town in Alabama because they were having memorial services because of his death. I was going to go to Greensboro, Alabama. I arrived in Greensboro, and I knew I was going to speak at this Black church. And so I pulled up, got out of my car. Well, I had my father-in-law's car, and I remember driving over there. I said, I guess he didn't quite know what I needed the car for. I said, I don't know how he'll take it if I get shot and there's blood all over the front seat. What will he think? But I drove up, and as I got out of the car with my vestments, and I said in my memoir that there's nothing lower than the voice of a poorly educated white racist, you know. And so I just turned and went up to the house, which was next door, and it had been a white church, and there was next door a house for the parsonage, but it was now a Black church. So I went in there, and I said, they said, well, come on in, Rev. And I said, well, I just got, you know, this guy said he wanted to kill me, and he was down. Oh, he said, oh, that's One-Eyed Jack. Said, don't pay any attention to him. So I did not pay any attention to him, and he didn't take a shot at me. That was somewhere at a large rally of Black people, and somebody discharged a firearm at them, didn't hit anybody. Yeah, there was another when we were in Lowndes County and announcing that Blacks were now free to vote. Somebody drove by this church and took a shot. I don't think they wanted to kid anybody, but, you know, they wanted to scare people. That's about it. I escaped somebody wanting to kill me, so.
You knew and you worked with people such as Jonathan Daniels and others, white and Black, who did lose their lives during that time.
Yeah, that's true. I was continually amazed at the resiliency and the courage of illiterate Black people in Alabama and in the Black Belt. I got a whole new idea of what it was to be a brave and wise person that had only gone through the third grade, you know. That was very revealing to me.
Father Francis Walter, whose memoir, From Preaching to Meddling, is published by New South Books. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots, live from the Wednesday Jazz at Barking Legs Facebook page. We have this afternoon the second half of a set played by guitarist and singer Jimmy Galloway in a virtual show from March. Jimmy Galloway studied music and recording at UNC Chapel Hill with electronic music visionary Dr. Robert Moog, the man who made the original synthesizer. Influenced by Chet Atkins and Mark Knopfler equally, his fingerstyle guitar playing, as you'll hear, is a mix of folk-based Americana, roots rock, fusion, psychedelia, and the ambient work of 20th century avant-garde composers. He lives on Signal Mountain, teaches guitar at the MAC, the Mountain Arts Community Center. Video of this performance at Barking Legs is on the Wednesday Jazz at Barking Legs Facebook page. On Scenic Roots, this is the second half of the set Jimmy Galloway played at Barking Legs on March 24th.
This is a song I wrote that a lot of people enjoy. ¶¶ It's called Still Standing. Sometimes I feel so barren, like a zero on the ground. Sometimes I get so angry, but I cannot make a sound. Sometimes I get so hopeless, that the answer's never found. But I'm still standing. Sometimes I look at my child, but I don't know what to say. Sometimes the road is far, but there's not another way. Sometimes I feel so broke, but somehow I've gotta pay. But I'm still standing. But I'm still standing on my feet. 'Cause I don't want you to see that inside I'm on my knees. But I'm still standing. Thank you.
was still standing, I'm going to do a couple more here.
Thank you.
planets to align.
Quick, I got time for another one. I'll close out with that one. All right, that'll be Finger Picking Blues. I appreciate Barking Lex for doing this for Chattanooga. It's great to have this resource still going, and I'm very appreciative to get the opportunity to play for you folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you.
shaking and a grin. Sign said hippies use a side door, but I walk right in. People in their front room socializing crew, and they all know the reason what it is they're here to do. Opening them cases, instruments in hand, people wouldn't peg us for picking sort of clean. Standing with my friends living around, never will forget them times of how we made it sound. Traveled many roads to get here, and we paid our dues. But the cover charge tonight is just finger-picking blues. Charge and that is just finger picking blues. Cover charge and that just the finger picking blues. Cover charge and that just the finger picking. Knuckle busting. Callous is the one on blues.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thanks to Barking Legs, and thanks to everybody in Chattanooga and above and beyond the World Wide Web. Cool. I swear it was in tune when I bought it.
Jimmy Galloway in Barking Legs for the Wednesday Jazz at Barking Legs series of virtual shows on their Wednesday Jazz at Barking Legs Facebook page. The full set with video is up on their Facebook page on listener-supported public radio. This is Scenic Roots.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.